Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories.
Good morning and welcome to Speak Up for Monday, June the 3rd. We're heading fast into summer, although the summer weather isn't here yet. My name is Magnus Teevil. With me today is
Peter R.H.
And we have a good show for you today. We're going to be talking, playing an interview with Ryan Suds from Stop the Sweeps, talking about the Crab Park encampment and their recent trip to Victoria to get the attention of the provincial government and leaders there. What are you going to talk to us about today,
well,
Peter?
Well, I'm going to talk about a 1987 conference that happened in 1987 by the World Wilderness Congress. That there was a person. He died in 2013. His name was George Hunt. He was an accountant who, by accident, went to the Congress, and he reported about what happened. And one of the things was they had quite a bit of high-profile people. They had a Rothschild. They had Strong. Maurice Strong was there, a Rockefeller. And they were proposing at that time a debt for a land from a debt swap that was they were quite serious about, which of course obviously didn't happen. But it would have been
just very briefly, because of course we are going to get into this in more detail in a moment. But what do you mean, like a land for debt swap?
Well, the idea was the United Nation, you know, like you have like a national park, so the idea would be like an international park.
Oh, okay.
So you would have, I think they were talking about like maybe a third of the landmass of the world being part of a UN park, and so you're swapping your land for the debt that you owe.
Oh, okay. So countries with debts to the International Bank, etc.,
yes,
would create significant parkland within their borders and then get debt relief.
Yes. Well, they wouldn't have that as part of their country. It would become in, like an international part of the world, I guess.
Interesting. Okay. Well, we'll get into that in more detail in about 20 minutes or so. We also have, of course, our regular segment, Gardening with Embark, and Bird Note, and some good music, and a whole lot more. So please stay tuned. You're listening to CJSF 94.1 FM. All right, we have an interview with Ryan Suds. He's from the organization Stop the Sweeps. They've been active in, particularly in the downtown east side, for a number of years, arguing against the practice of street sweeps, which is where particularly the city of Vancouver and its workers, along usually supported by police and others, pass through the downtown area and remove everything that's on the sidewalks and people's personal possessions and any tents and things like that, with, you know, the stated purpose of cleaning things up. But there's lots of other problems about it. We're not so much going to get into that today, because a couple weeks ago, the Crab Park encampment, which has recently been under quite a bit of pressure from the Parks Board as part of a kind of related to street sweeps activity of cleaning up the encampment area in Crab Park, has been under a lot of pressure with campers being forced to move out and relocate to another part of the park, and a lot of stuff going on, which we'll talk about with Ryan. And they organized a trip to Victoria and actually set up a temporary encampment on the lawn of the legislature, where they would be really visible to MLAs and the government, being right on the government's front lawn. So we're going to talk about that and some of the other issues. This is my interview with Ryan Sutz. All right. Welcome, Ryan Sutz. Thank you for joining the program. We're talking about the Crab Park Tent City and the visit last week to the BC Legislature. But before we get into that, maybe you can introduce yourself and tell me about your role as a supporter of the camp.
Yes, certainly. So, I'm Ryan Sutz. I'm an organizer and do work with Stop the Sweeps. So what we do is we work to resist the displacement of unhoused people from public spaces, be it by park rangers, city workers, police, Ministry of Transportation, anything, which often brings us to Crab Park because since the first time an unhoused person has showed up in the new iteration of this, of the tent city in Crab Park, park rangers have been trying to remove people from that area by whatever means, pretty much by whatever means possible at this point, right. Ranging from like stealing people's tents, sleeping bags in the rain, to provoking people until they get arrested by the police. And so that brings us down in that space doing like a variety of things ranging from supporting people through those sweeps as best we can to political advocacy and then also mutual aid. So working with the tent city to support like the day-to-day needs of folks as well.
Great. So last week you were part of an organized trip to Victoria of members of the tent city to engage with the provincial government. Can you tell me more about that trip?
Yeah. So there has been a standing invitation for the Minister of Housing, Ravi Kailan, to meet with Crab Park Tent City residents for a long time. He has not, and we have not seen any MLA or city councillor or MP come down to that tent city to meet with people in a meaningful, substantive and respectful way. So
Does that include the campers, Crab Park's very own MLA has not met with you guys?
No. However, she did come out in Victoria to see us. Okay. But yeah, so the energy was like, you won't come talk to us, so we're going to come talk to you. And so approximately 10 residents and a couple of supporters drove to Victoria. But sure enough, you know, like it's a perfect encapsulation of how this works. The morning we showed up to sort of get everybody into vehicles, the park rangers were there and did a massive raid on the camp and took 3 truckloads of stuff. Such that one resident, one of the main leaders, had to stay back for fear of rangers coming through. So even this trip put the camp in danger. But you know, it's kind of like a perfect encapsulation. So from a raid over to Victoria, we met with people who do similar work to Stop the Sweeps in Tent City support in Victoria. So they helped co-organize the event. They face many of the same issues in that municipality. And yeah, we set up on the legislature and waited for MLAs to come out. 3 did trickle through throughout the day, and residents had a chance to speak to them. And, you know, like where those politicians take what they heard remains to be seen. But we did have 3 people come out for what that's worth. Right. There should have been more.
Yeah. And no ministers or no premier came out to see you guys.
No, the Minister of Housing did not come out to meet with Crab Park Tent City residents, though I'm sure he has many opinions about the camp. He has yet to meet a resident directly for what I know.
What do you think about that? I mean, you know, campers are citizens and, you know, should have the same possibility of engagement with, you know, with their MLAs and their representatives, and perhaps even more so given the whole situation of homelessness in this province. You know, what do you think of, you know, why are they not coming out and why do they not see this as something they need to talk to, aside from concerns about PR or something like that?
But I think that's exactly it. Like, if they come out and actually engage with residents of a tent city and speak to them and hear them, it's going to make it a lot harder for them to engage in the type of PR that they want. So there's a plausible deniability. So they're really, really comfortable saying encampments aren't safe. And they're really, really comfortable dehumanizing unhoused people. And they're really comfortable putting them into danger without ever speaking to them. And I think that's part of it, is to speak to someone and treat them as a person makes it much, much harder to dehumanize them and put and make policies that ultimately result in deaths. And whether that's whether that's decampment, which they're very, very comfortable with, and evictions, or the new ban on using drugs in public spaces, which is essentially a version of a sweep. So they're very, very comfortable making these policy decisions that are going to endanger lives. And so I think that they create distance between themselves because they don't want to have to look in the eyes of the person whose life they're putting in a severe degree of danger, if not like potentially mortally danger.
So how do we change that? Because, you know, camps aren't going away. I live down in close to the downtown east side. There are people everywhere. You know, I understand that the Crab Park camp is a lot smaller, but that doesn't mean those people have gone away. How do we change this attitude about camps and the homelessness in general? Particularly, you know, you mentioned about the sort of ease with which they're dehumanized to avoid perhaps more concrete solutions.
Yeah. So as a member of Stop the Sweeps, I always joke like our one of our solutions is stopping sweeps, which is to say that the government says we're building housing and that's great. And you talk to any most unhoused people and they say, yeah, housing is part of the solution. But housing down the road from now, when the day-to-day treatment of unhoused people is deplorable and it's deplorable, really calls into question, like, why are they building that housing if they're treating people so badly right now? And what to me what it's going to beget is housing that doesn't actually suit the needs of unhoused people. And we see this a lot when tent cities are shut down. People go into housing and then they come out of the housing because it's not a good fit, or their community has been broken up. So the provincial government is, and every level of government ignores unhoused people, but specifically I would target the provincial government here, is that they continue to build housing that doesn't really work for people. And they've also beat people down so much while they've been on the street, they're destabilizing people. And so the first step is actually meeting people, as you alluded to earlier, as equals, and they're currently not. And so the whole thing is prescriptive and paternalistic. I know best, this housing is going to work. But again, to meet with these folks and engage them as people with agency and decisions in their future, like any of us, is going to make it harder because they want better housing than what they're getting for the most part. And many people are grateful for some of the housing that they want. And you talk to folks and like the things that they want are a kitchen, a bathroom, a bit of room for storage. Like, it's not huge. I mean, some people are like, I'd like a mansion, and so would I to a certain extent. But for the most part, people want the basics, and they're not getting the basics. Or things like I was talking to one guy, he's only allowed to have 14 over, he's only allowed 14 opportunities a year to have an overnight guest, and that guest must be pre-approved. I can have as many guests as I want in my apartment. So that's not going to work for people, and continues this paternalistic, punishment-focused process. So that, like, that's a big part of it too. You got to meet people and treat them with respect and then act on it, which is what we were attempting to accomplish in Victoria, is come meet with folks and then do something about it, act on it.
So do you feel the trip was effective?
I think that like it was effective from the perspective of that, like, we did something and that feels good. And when you've got park ranger, when people are getting beat down so much, to go and go to Victoria, sit in the seat of power and say, we're not happy with this. I think, yeah, residents felt good, but it was also really emotional for a lot of folks. And, you know, like we'll see how effective it is. I personally don't, you know, my personal view is that I don't place much trust in these folks to do the right thing because they've had so much time to do it. But like, maybe this is it. As I asked one of the residents, after he had spoken to a number of I think two of the MLAs, and I said, do you think it will make a difference? And he said, I wish. And I think that's all we can do. It's not even that we hope, it's that we wish. There's something very fantastical about it, and I think folks recognize it. So yeah, like, I hope so, but it's a wish that something truly, truly better will come out of this.
I also want to talk about what's been happening down at Crab Park. Crab Park is the only legally sanctioned encampment in Canada to this point. So you know, their rights to be there have been legally established, but that hasn't necessarily made the relationship with the Parks Board and the other authorities in any way comfortable. Maybe you can start by telling me a bit more about this, you know, this raid where they came into knowing a bunch of the residents were going to be away for the day to come in and clean up.
Yeah, so the current situation of Crab Park is that they're quote unquote cleaning it up, and mm-hmm. they did a really good job recently of destroying the entire tent city and restructuring it to be much more like visually aligned with how unhoused people think the world should look. And so it's moved from a place where people could build structures that had insulation, were off the ground, could put beds into tents provided by the city. No one new is allowed into the tent city now, only people who had been there. And what they do with these raids, and this is a classic sort of approach, is they are attempting to make this area as unbearable as possible. They are attempting, I would say, to, in some degree, torture people, to make their lives as hard as possible so they leave this area. And once everybody has left, there is no longer a place in this city where people can legally set up a tent if they're unhoused. And that's their plan. And so these raids serve a purpose of, one, to quote unquote keep it clean, but it also serves to make people miserable. And a key part of this, as I mentioned earlier, is that the more miserable the street is, and it can be, but there's also a lot of joy there, but the more miserable being in a park or a street is, the more likely you are to take shelter that is dangerous, or the more likely you are to settle for housing that isn't what you actually want. So this is all a tactic to make people as uncomfortable as possible to accept housing that isn't good enough. And so the sweeps and the housing work really well in tandem in that sense. So I think that's what's happening right now, is these raids are coming, making people's lives miserable, and that pushes people into housing that they might not be remotely close to the ideal, let alone ideal.
A number of the court cases around encampments, I know the one in Victoria and perhaps the one, the Crab Park, at sort of, when the authorities failed in the injunctions or the that they were asking for to remove camps, part of the argument from the courts was that you can't just move people out if you're not providing alternatives. And I guess, you know, part of the alternative they say they're providing is the various housing isn't really suitable. But, you know, it seems to me that the Parks Board perhaps addresses its problems by, you know, beating down Crab Park Camp, but that doesn't make the problem go away. You know, the people, as I said earlier, you know, they're homeless throughout, well, everywhere, but, you know, throughout the downtown east side, you know, and is having people sleeping in doorways or, you know, wherever they find a place really any better than in something a little more organized than the camp. What do policymakers think they're doing when they're doing this? I mean, it's like they're, I'm just going to let you answer that.
I that's the $1 million question. I don't know. And I think it's something very deep. Like this problem, quote, like, and like problem is already their language. Like mm-hmm. it's diagnosing the existence of a person on the street as a problem, as a moral failing. I think, you know, if I had to guess, I think that they believe that, and we know this from a certain extent, is that they believe that everybody on the street is suffering from the disease of homelessness, and that homelessness and unhousedness and dehousedness is all some sort of personal failing or sickness, and it's reached a point where it requires involuntary care. It requires a push beyond what that person wants. And so the only way to curing unhousedness is to bully that person indoors. And they have stated this to us on the street sweeps crew. So different than the park rangers, this is through that does this work is that they go and they harass people to get a conversion, is what they call it, to move someone from a tent into a shelter. So they use this language that they actually approach people trying to change their mindset. They would use words like people who are like street embedded or something along those lines. So I think that's part of it. But then it's also related to that, like the visual presence of unhoused people and poverty really makes it, I think, a lot harder to believe that your system, your capitalist system, is successful when there's this very, very stark reminder. And this, we live in a system that has relied on violence and bullying and displacement since white Europeans showed up here, and it's our natural default stance, and we continue to do that here. And it's not a coincidence that there is a disproportionate amount of indigenous people who are on Hastings Street and in Crab Park and continue to be displaced by the very same forces. So part of me, like, honestly, it's laziness. It's something that we've done for years and years and years, and we continue to do it because it continues to hold up this system, and we continue to let it happen because we're very, very comfortable with it. That would be my core kind of conspiracy theory of what happened. But there's all kinds of things. You know, you think about Crab Park, it's right in the view of the cruise ships.
Yeah.
And so now it looks a lot prettier by that measure as well. There's so many reasons, but I think there's a big systemic reason that doesn't get addressed enough in all the political rhetoric, sadly.
What do you think needs to be done to provide an alternative to encampments or to make encampments work? And I guess I'm not necessarily thinking just about, you know, the physical solution, but working towards a solution. Because when I listen to what you're saying here, it seems like one of the big missing pieces here is that homeless themselves are not really included in the process of finding a solution.
Yeah, and that's step one, is trying to it's got to be built from the bottom. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean bottom hierarchically. Like, it's not like unhoused people are actually at the bottom, but they're treated like they're at the bottom. And it needs to be horizontal. This idea that the government and the decision makers are on top and in power of unhoused people is an illusion. And so until those in power, give up a bit of their ego and actually accept that they might not know the best decision for these folks, and that unhoused people are smart people, they are. I would say smarter than the politicians who keep beating them down. That's the first step. And you see the Federal Housing Advocate, and there's an encampment report from the UN Special Rapporteur, Liani Farhan, I think their name is. But when you're decamping a tent city, the only way you can really do it, according to those reports and some of the advocacy, is that you speak with everybody, you find out what each of those individuals wants, and then you have to enact it. That's the only way to do it from a human rights perspective. You can't take shortcuts, and we continue to take all of these shortcuts to try and get rid of the tent city. So I think I would suggest a big part of it is probably a long, drawn-out conversation where everybody gets to know each other a little bit better, and then we discover the solution. Not the BC NDP yelling at the BC United Party and conservatives all yelling at each other, and then them coming up with a decision that helps each of them try and reach a certain electorate. That's not going to be what's going to produce the best result for unhoused people.
Right. Before we finish up, what's the current situation at the Crab Park encampment? I was down there interviewing a couple of residents in December, and I think at that time they said there were maybe 50 tents and probably 45 residents. I understand that's very much shrunk now.
It's a much smaller crew of people. I don't want to speak for folks there, but I think I would say that, like, the community is slowly being eroded and destroyed. What was called the warming tent has been dismantled by the park board. The park board continues to come in and take items that would provide more comfort for folks. So the current status is that there are a smaller number of folks, still a lot of folks. It's probably the biggest tent city in the city right now. And many of those folks have been there for a long time, have been there since the beginning. And yeah, their community is slowly being destroyed. However, I would also say, you know, it's not all doom and gloom. There are people there who are fighting for this community, who are going to Victoria, who are fighting with park rangers. And I want to emphasize that they're fighting with park rangers. They are yelling at them. And they have so little power when you have 8 park rangers and 8 police come down there. But there are people on the ground, the residents of this place, as we probably all would, who are fighting for their homes right now.
Right.
And they will continue to fight, I imagine.
With the restrictions you're talking about, no new people and really sort of controlling the environment, taking stuff away, is this being challenged at the legal level?
There is a human rights complaint right now that the Human Rights Commission has accepted, is looking at. The residents of Crab Park have decided to not go with mediation, believing that, I think correctly, that the park board is not here in good faith. So it is at the very least being challenged on that front right now, that this is, the case would be that this is violating and has been a violation of people's human rights for a long time. And I would suggest, you know, that's happening here. All of the sweeps and all of this displacement is a violation of people's human rights. But right now that is the main legal front this is being fought on at Crab Park. But it's just not only Crab Park that this human rights violation is happening. It's all over the place.
Well, thank you for speaking to me today. Obviously, this is not a story that's going to go away in any foreseeable future, given the current approaches. Thank you, Ryan Suds, for speaking to me of Stop the Sweeps.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
That was Ryan Suds of Stop the Sweeps. That was an interview I did a couple weeks ago about the trip of some residents of Crab Park, the encampment at Crab Park, Canada's only legally sanctioned homeless encampment. They took a trip to the legislature a few weeks back to bring their story and their issue directly to MLAs and the government. And they had some success. They met with some MLAs. Obviously, we will be following the story of the Crab Park encampment and homelessness and houselessness in general here on CJSF and on Speak Up. And we will be bringing you more stories on that. Now, some music. This is Ohama from an album called 13 Electronic Cover Songs. This is Julie is a TV Set.
Try too hard, sometimes not enough. Sometimes I feel so weak. Who says